Shout out to the people in North County and the people watching online all around the world. God bless y'all. Let's give them a hand. What's up? Happy Easter. Happy Easter. How many visitors do we have here? How many visitors? Anybody? Visitors? Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor of the church, and this is our 12th Easter, and we are very excited about today. Very excited what God's doing in our life and in our city. So let's get down to business. Let's all bow for a word of prayer real quick. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you so much for rising from the dead. We thank you that right now your tomb is empty. You're in a better place. And we thank you that you love us. And we pray for everybody here in Point Loma, watching online in North County, watching on our new phone app all around the world. We just thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles. If you have a Bible and you're new, what we do is we hold up our Bibles and say word. So on the count of three, we want to see your Bibles and hear you say word. One, two, three.
Word.
That was okay. Let's try that one more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew, first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Y'all look so pretty on Easter. Y'all look so pretty. Wow. They had different plans for Easter morning. Matthew 28. About 3 weeks ago, my wife and I got an email from, it looked like an invitation from the White House to a Easter prayer breakfast. It didn't have a return, it didn't have a name on it, it just had the invitation. And it said, we want to invite you to the White House for this Easter prayer breakfast, blah, blah, blah. And then the second part of it says, can you send us your social security number and your birthday? And I'm thinking, there's no name. I mean, I could have made that at Kinko's, right? So I'm thinking, this is a scam. So I happened to have met a guy who heads up the faith-based initiatives for President Obama. I met him about 6 weeks ago at a conference on volunteerism. And we were talking about all the volunteerism that you all do, 230,000 hours last year in San Diego. And so I had his email address. I sent him the invitation. I said, look, I got this invitation. Is it a scam? Or is this for real? And he said, no, it's for real. I want you to come. And so last Wednesday, my wife and I attended a prayer breakfast at the White House. There were about 150 religious leaders. And that's us in some room in the White House. That's where the food was. That's all I know where that room was. And there were about 150 people, and the president was there, obviously, the vice president. They were singing and prayer reading. We got to meet. And some people will say I look like him, but I don't look like that, brother. some people say all black people look alike. It's just not true. It's just not true. Trying to keep it real on Easter. So he spoke, and then the vice president spoke, and there was singing and scripture reading. It was very nice. First time at the White House, first president I met. But there was something that Vice President Biden said that I want to make reference to today. He was talking about that this day and their breakfast was there to celebrate the fact of the resurrection. And he emphasized the word fact. Everyone say fact. It is, let's say it a little more oomph than that. Say fact. It's not a myth, it's not a religious tradition only, it is a fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, just like he said. Now, this is very significant because there is no other religious leader ever to live that one claimed to be the Savior of the world, that said he was going to die for the sins of the world, like Jesus said, and said he would rise from the dead and then did it. Not only did any of the religious leaders say those things, they didn't do it. Now, there are a lot of religions, a lot of faiths in the world, and we all want to say we can believe whatever we want to believe, but that is absolutely not true. Now, let me say it. It's true that you can believe what you want to believe. It doesn't mean that what you believe is going to save you. And you can stand on top of a building and say, I believe I can fly. You jump off that building, you're going to hit your head on the concrete and die. You can't fly. Jesus Christ's resurrection sets him apart from every other religious leader. It sets Christianity as a, it's not even a religion, it's a relationship, apart from every other faith. Because Christianity is where God came to man, religion is where man tries to get to God, but can't. And if you're praying to someone who is dead, you're wasting your time. If you're trusting your life in someone who doesn't have eternal life, you're wasting your time. Jesus Christ, matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says, if Christ is not risen, we are still in our sin, which means that there is no forgiveness available to you if he's still dead. If he's still dead, the Bible is not true. Church is a waste of time. There is no Christianity if Christ is still dead. It doesn't exist. It's just in our imagination. But if he did rise from the dead, then all bets are off. It's a whole different ballgame. That means that he now can overcome all the drama in your life, even death. Now, we all have drama. Can I get amen? Some of y'all got Desperate Housewife drama. Some of y'all got As the World Turns drama. Some of y'all got TMZ. Extra, extra drama. But whatever your drama is, he can overcome it because he can overcome death. That means even when you die, you still have hope. But if you don't have Christ, you have no hope past the grave because whatever you're hoping in is still dead. And so we're going to look at some of the evidence or proof of life that Christ really rose from the dead. Now let's do a little review. Jesus said, I'm going to die. Told his disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. And he was. They whipped his back 39 times. They pulled his beard out. They spit on him, beat his face in. They hung him on a cross. They nailed him to a cross, took him off the cross, put him in a tomb of someone they knew. Joseph Arimathea was a very respected counselor. Now remember, Jerusalem was only about 360 acres. Matter of fact, this property that we're on here in Liberty Station in Point Loma is 365 acres. That's how big Jerusalem was. Had a wall around it. You can go to today. The wall's still there. It's very small. 50,000 people, give or take, during Passover, 100,000 people. It wasn't like this stuff wasn't known. And he was crucified right on the hill outside the city. And he was buried in a man's tomb that everybody knew. It wasn't like it was a mystery. And his tomb is empty. So we're talking about something that was very discoverable and provable. Okay, so when we look at just five pieces of evidence of why Jesus, we know he rose from the dead. Number one in your notes, the testimony of women. All the ladies say, hey, the testimony of the women's. Verse 1, chapter 28, it says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from where the door sat, and sat on the door. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes like white as snow. The guards shook for fear and became like dead men. The guards that guarded the tomb were Roman soldiers. They were the most advanced, trained, skilled fighting men on the planet. These guys were serious soldiers. And the Bible says when they saw the angel, they fell over like dead men. And then it says the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. The women said, we ain't afraid. We're looking for Jesus. Isn't it ironic that the angel scared the soldiers, but the women were like, you ain't scaring us. Okay, those are some women right there. You can't scare women. I don't mess with no women. They'll jack you up. And they said, we ain't afraid, rolling their neck. We ain't afraid. I know who you you seek Jesus. And he says, he is not risen here. He is risen just as he said. Can everybody say, just as he said? If Jesus kept his word on this, what don't you think he can keep his word on? Bruce Lee, I was a Bruce Lee fan back in the day. If you were a Bruce Lee fan, say, oh. Y'all remember that? Look at that. Y'all remember. Bruce Lee died, I believe it was 1975, but whenever he died, I remember there was a rumor, at least in my neighborhood, that he was going to rise from the dead in 10 years. How many of y'all heard that rumor? How many of y'all heard it here? You didn't hear it. No. How many of y'all heard a rumor back in the day? You heard that rumor. Okay, so 10 years later, we're all waiting for Bruce Lee to get up. Bruce Lee was 135 pounds. That was it. That was a bad dude, though. He's dead. Jesus said, I'm rising from the dead. And look what it says. Go quickly, tell the disciples he has risen from the dead, and indeed, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Why is this important? Because there is an ancient myth of why God chose women to be the first to know and spread the word. I'm just saying. And the reason God chose women to be first is because they are faithful. Ah, I gotcha. In Jesus' day, women were looked down upon. They said that the bad deeds of a man were better than the good deeds of a woman. This is in their culture, not today. And for them to put in the Bible that women were the first at the tomb, they would have never done that unless it was true. The Bible tells you the truth. They would have never put women in such a prominent position unless it was true. God is very strategic, and he honors women just like he honors men. Number two in your notes, Sunday became the day of worship. The reason we worship on Sunday is because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, and the early Christians wanted to celebrate his resurrection every single week. Now remember, Jesus was Jewish. Saturday was the day of worship. Most of his followers were Jewish at the time. Saturday was their day of worship. When Christ rose from the dead on Sunday, they all said, we're not going to worship on Saturday. We're going to honor the resurrection on the day he rose. When you come to church on Sunday, you have to understand that you are celebrating his resurrection that took place on a Sunday. That's what we do every week, because this is the most important event in the history of the planet. Without his resurrection, there was no hope. By the way, he died for our sin, but if he didn't rise, his death would have meant nothing. Anybody can die. And by the way, very few people die for other people. But I can go die for you, but if I'm still in the grave, my death doesn't do any good. Because the reason he died was to pay for your sin. But if he didn't rise, his payment was no good. If he didn't rise, he would have been a sinner. And it proved that his blood was sinless, sinful, and then therefore it wouldn't have been able to pay for your sin. But the fact that he rose validated the fact that he was pure and sinless. That's why it's so critical. So every Sunday we come to church, we are celebrating, thank God that he rose. Because if you're still in the grave, we'd be praying to nobody. And by the way, some of y'all are praying to dead people. Do not pray to dead people. What are you wasting your time? They're dead. Only Christ can answer your prayers and respond to your prayers. Only Jesus. Number three in your notes. His dead body was never found. You know, if you want to discredit the whole Bible and all Christianity, all you got to do is find a body. Simple. Sounds like a very simple thing. By the way, we looked for Osama bin Laden for, I don't know how many, 10 years, right? We looked for him all over the mountains. We finally found him. Jerusalem was only 360-something acres, give or take, 0.7 square miles, very small area. He was crucified right outside the town. He walked to his place of crucifixion. He carried the cross himself, and he was buried right in the tomb. Everyone knew Joseph of Arimathea. They knew where his tomb was. It wasn't a mystery. You can go there today. Pay $2. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're going to charge you today, $10 under inflation, and maybe $20 now, to see nothing. The people who run the tomb, they probably stand there, yeah, okay, there ain't nothing in there. God, give me your money. Thank you very much. And you stand in line, you'll go in there, and you'll do this. He ain't there. Then the person after you come in, he ain't there. And the dude's like, I could have told you that. People have been doing that for 2,000 years. He still ain't there. He ain't coming back. He's not there. Matter of fact, when the Roman soldiers fell over and they woke up and realized the tomb was empty, they had to make up a story. Look what it says in chapter 28, verse 11. It says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests, the religious leaders, all the things that had happened. They said, brother, we don't know how to tell you this, but we were guarding the tomb. And an angel came down and the earth shook and the stone rolled away and Jesus walked out. Just like he said. And they're like, oh, you can't tell people that. And look what it says. It says, verse 12, when they assembled with the elders and they consulted together, and they gave them a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while you slept. Now, you have to understand, these soldiers were like special forces, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers. And then you have fishermen with fishing poles. We're going to hook you to death. Give us the Savior. Yeah, these guys fell asleep. Right. They didn't fall asleep. And by the way, there was a big stone in front of the tomb, and the stone was sealed. And this says, verse 14, if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. In other words, if the governor finds out that you let the body go and you failed at your duty to protect the body, we'll tell him. Because we can't let the word get out that he really rose. You know, the devil doesn't want you to really understand and process the fact that he rose from the dead. By habit, people go to church on Easter. There's millions and millions and millions of people who go to church on Easter and Christmas. Those are the two holidays. Easter, we call them Christers. Some of you, last time you were here, was in church, was Christmas. Matter of fact, last Christmas, someone left the Bible on our stage, and I opened it up. It was Christmas Eve service, and I opened it up, and in the front flap was a bulletin from the previous Easter. Wow. Process this. A man was crucified, put in a tomb, and 3 days after being dead, he rose and walked around for 40 days. People touched him, spoke to him. It's real. There's nobody else you can pray to, sing to, worship, read about that did that. He is different. He is. Number four. The Holy Spirit was given to those who believe. Jesus said before he died, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son. The Son died on the cross for our sin, and then he ascended to heaven. And then the Son said, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to live in you, and the Holy Spirit living in you is what's going to transform you. Turn to Acts. You're in Matthew, four books towards the back of the Bible, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of God is God, and the Spirit of God will live inside of you, and that's what establishes a relationship with you. Christianity is not a belief in your head, it's a relationship in your heart. Religion is where we try to get to God doing our good deeds or doing what we think is right. Christianity is where God himself comes and lives in us and really shows us what is right. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are more prideful and arrogant than we know. You are a worse sinner than you think. Imagine if everything you thought in your mind, everything you thought in your heart, came out as words when you thought them. Ooh. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all there with one accord. This is after Jesus ascended into heaven. Verse 2, suddenly there became a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Verse 3, then there appeared upon them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Christianity is where you acknowledge that you are a sinner, that Jesus died for your sin, rose from the dead, and then you say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin and come live in me. God created us in his image so he can live in us, just as we design a glove in the image of a hand so the hand can live in the glove. God designed you in his image so he can live in you. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship. Everyone say relationship. And a risen Savior opens the door for us to have a relationship with God. Number 5. Eyewitnesses were transformed. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death, physical and spiritual death. Spiritual death is a place called hell, a place where God will never be and nothing good about God will ever be. Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin, and he rose from the dead, giving you the opportunity to be forgiven and to receive forgiveness, eternal life. And in the context of a relationship with him, he transforms you into what he created you to be. Look what it says in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 13. Understand this, his disciples were scared when he died. They thought they were now going to be targets of violence. Their leader was dead. They questioned whether what he said was true. And then all of a sudden they saw him alive, risen, just like he said. And in verse 13 it says, when the religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Everybody say uneducated. Take a deep breath in, say untrained. They said, Peter and John, we noticed that you are not educated, you're kind of dumb, and you're kind of untrained, but there's something about you that gives us a hint that you have been with a resurrected man. Something different about you. The reason disciples, every single one of them, died for their faith is because they saw a risen Savior. And they realized that there was hope beyond the grave. Every single one of them died. Martyrs, hundreds of them died, eaten by lions, eaten by dogs, murdered, speared to death, tortured to death, because they understood there was a Savior who rose from the dead that can defeat even death in their life. That's why they did that. It wasn't just something in their head. They saw him. 40 days, doubting Thomas. Thomas was one of the disciples, and he was down talking trash, those are my words, talking trash to the other disciples 8 days after Jesus rose from the dead. They were in the house, the doors were closed, the windows were shut, and he was like, well, if I don't see him myself, if I don't touch him myself, I'm not going to believe it. And as he was talking trash, Jesus himself came into the room. Now, I wasn't there, but I'm guessing he walked right through the wall, just like that. And he went up to Thomas, and he didn't say, Thomas, you've been talking trash. But what he did was, he says, Thomas, touch my hand. Touch my side. And Thomas knew that he was listening. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God, or OMG. He had a Twitter account. You have in your bulletin this little piece of paper. It says, I want freedom from. For the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about the freedom that Christ gives us. Next week, I'm going to talk about what we are in bondage to. Not just generically sin, but what that really means. And then 2 weeks later, I'm going to talk about what freedom really looks like. When you walk with Christ, what does freedom really look like? In the next few minutes, we're going to pray. And you're going to have an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior, to acknowledge the significance of the resurrection. But I want you, before you leave today, just to write down one thing you would love to have freedom from. In other words, if Christ is real, and you give your life to him, what is one thing that you say, Lord, can you remove this from my life? Because if it's not of God, he can and will remove it. And when you leave today, there are crosses out in the lobby and outside that you can drop this in. You don't put your name on it, obviously, and we're going to do this next week as well. But we want this to be very real to you, that you're not just coming to church because you want to fulfill a tradition. You want God to transform you. And you need to know what that transformation looks like. The first step is acknowledging that, yes, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that the penalty of my sin is death. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. He paid the penalty of my sin, and he rose from the dead. And I want to take advantage of that. He did it for me. He did it for you. And I want him to forgive me. And I want my life to be transformed to be what it's supposed to be. Before we pray, I want you to think. You know your sin. You know your bondage, your hang-up, your insecurity, the thing you do that you don't want to do. You don't need to live that way. You could be set free. I used to do cocaine right down the street. Well, one of the many places I did it. Stopped in one day because of Jesus. He can do miraculous things in your life. So let's all right now bow our heads and close our eyes. Whether you're sitting here in Point Loma or you're in North County at our church in North County, San Marcos, or you're watching online or you're watching on your phone app, God knows who you are. God died for you and he rose from the dead for you. He loves you. And he wants to forgive you of your sin. But you have to ask him by faith. If you believe that you are a sinner, you believe that Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead, and you would like him to forgive you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But you must pray believing by faith that God will indeed forgive you and cleanse you. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that you are the Lord. I believe that you died for my sin. And I believe you rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're watching online, you could check the box right there on your screen. We want to know. If you're in North County, I'm going to ask you to stand as well, and someone there is going to pray with you. You will not be alone. So eyes closed, heads bowed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you. This is not the time to be worrying about what people think. It's the time to be worrying about what God thinks. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, Lord, please forgive me of my sin, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness. And as you stand, you are resurrecting from the dead, just like he did. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 God bless all of you. God bless you. Very good. We see you all over the room. We see you in the balcony as well. God bless you. 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 Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Good. God bless you. You do not want to miss this opportunity. This is what Easter is about. New life. Resurrection life. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Good, 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 good. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Now in a minute, we're going to ask all of you to come forward. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up and the ushers will bring you down. Everybody else, we're going to cheer for them. We're not ready to leave yet. We got a few more things to do. But if you're standing up, come up out of your seat, come on down to the altar and let's give them a hand as they come on down.